Third Coast Digest is brought to you in part by 91.7 FM, WMSE Frontier Radio.
Mary Fran Wilcoxon and Janet Robinson, welcome.
Thank you.
Mary Fran, you are the executive director of Daystar, and Janet, you are the assistant director, is that correct?
That is correct.
Of Daystar. And I want to read something, just how you describe Daystar on your website. And I quote, "A long-term transitional home for women who are homeless because of domestic abuse. We provide shelter and support services to survivors of domestic abuse that allows them to regain their confidence and self-esteem and to break the chain of violence in their lives. We provide women with the tools to become financially stable and emotionally independent." Good. A noble goal. Now, I want to ask, why specifically the niche of providing long-term shelter? I know you're very specific about that. Mm-hmm. Can you say?
If a woman has nowhere to go, where is she going to get help? There are so many organizations that have opportunities for families with the parents being abused, but there's no particular area that works directly with women without dependents to necessarily go to. Nor the resources. So one of the reasons Daystar came about is because there need to be a place for those women too.
Right. They had no place. Now, how long can they stay with you?
They can stay with us up to 2 years.
Okay.
And we do a long term because it takes more than leaving to radically change one's life. You
right.
have to whole set of mindsets to change, to make sure that you can get out of that need for other people all the time.
Right.
And so it takes a lot to build a life where one is financially independent, as well as having an attitude that I am lovable as I am.
Right. That's one of the things I wanted to ask you, too, is about what you offer besides shelter. Now, how many beds do you have or how many rooms do you have for?
We house up to 10 women.
Okay.
They have their own private room.
Each one has a room. Good.
All inclusive. Mm-hmm. Meals. Personal hygiene, all those things are included in
everything
that program.
Is right there. Mm-hmm. Now, do you offer counseling services or so that to help them get back into the world on
yeah,
their own independently?
We do have Saturday support groups, which is strictly directed around domestic violence, how to find the red flags, see the red flags, knowing if it's a healthy relationship that you're about to go into. Getting to know who you are, getting in tune to who you are, becoming more independent before you decide to invite any other individuals into your life, truly and solely to get to know who you are.
Right, right. What are the red flags, as you said? What happens just before a woman realizes that she has to get herself out of relationship with an intimate partner that's become violent?
Am I being, as a person, cut off from my own support and friends that I used to have? Am I being cut off from my family of support? Am I being cut off of money? Am I being cut off of any type of social life outside of this other person?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes the words themselves, I'm nobody, I'm the only one that's going to love you. Janet, you want to continue?
No one else cares about you.
That's the words you're liable to hear, that the feeling is being pounded into you.
Right. You're not going to amount to nothing. And those are the very subtle ones. And it eventually become more. It can become where it's a little mental. Okay, you have taken this individual out of the setting of her loved ones. Now you're going to start attacking the individual. So now you're going to be a little verbal.
Mm-hmm.
And so now she's still yet feeling a little inadequate. Then it may come to the point where it is physical, and it could also be sexual. It could be a multitude of things. But this individual has played with your mind so much that you feel that you cannot go to family. You don't have the friends anymore because now they've actually moved on because they felt that you didn't want them to be in your life.
Right.
So they have moved on.
Right.
Now you have no support system, none whatsoever, other than this individual. And then this woman is looking at, well, I don't even have the education oh, I don't have the employment resources that I can even leave here and go somewhere else. So it gets to the point where it's, you know, am I weighing out? Do I stay? Do I go? Can I bear this a little bit more?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And you play with those games in your head a lot. However, you have to see that when they start to get those little minute signs saying, you know, you're not going to amount to anything. I don't want you hanging out with your family. You can't wear that outfit. You need to start then thinking, these are red flags.
Right.
These are definitely red flags.
All right. It's such a complicated thing. It's such a complicated situation. I often think that physical violence is like a conversation where one person hits someone and the other person gets hit. There is a villain when somebody is physically punishing somebody, but it is a conversation. It goes two ways. And so you have to know when to stop that conversation if that conversation is going the wrong direction. So knowing what it is about this intimate partner, when you're surrendering yourself, when you're surrendering your own identity to him,
mm-hmm.
and so that it becomes a habit. And now, violence in a domestic relationship is also a learned behavior in a lot of ways. I mean, don't we see again and again that if you grew up witnessing a relationship between a man and a woman that was violent, abusive, that you tend to think that is the language of a relationship? Do you see that?
We do see that a lot. And also, we do have women who have come through sexual abuse even as children.
Mm-hmm.
And that has carried through all their lives that, oh, this is the way the men act in this family.
This is the way it has to be.
Yeah.
So when you begin the healing process by giving them another kind of support group, another place to go.
Exactly. We give them another place to go. We let them know that these are things that we expect, that it's going to be an independent process. You're going to be independent. We can give you tools. We can have you go to workshops. We can refer you to other organizations that you can get help from,
mm-hmm.
as well as take in what we have to offer at Daystar through the workshops, through the Saturday support, dedicated staff, case management. Take the advantage of it because it's only going to help you.
Now, are you able to point them in the direction of legal services to get restraining orders to help them in the court through the court system?
There's a variety of agencies around town that do help with that, and we always refer out. We try not to duplicate services when something is out there because people need to know where they can get help.
Right, right. Now, how much recidivism do you see? In other words, if a woman comes to you and stays for a year, 6 months, a year, 18 months, and gets to a point where she feels confident that she can get back on her feet, does she come back at some point ever? I mean, is that...
Over the 11 years that I've been at Daystar, we've had four women come back to us.
Okay.
That's not to say other women have not gone into relationships that have not been healthy. As far as actually coming back to Daystar, only four.
Only four. Okay, that's good. Good.
And those for many different reasons.
Right.
And Daystar also offer... an aftercare program where case management still go on. Women may find that they need other things outside of just getting out on their own. They need extra support. They still yet need to know that they're doing a good job, that, you know, they are well on the road to success, to recover,
right.
To become more independent. It's not just about being in your own place, having your own job. It's about actually truly getting to know you. And a lot of the women do yet call and say, you know, I still need some services. I still need to talk with you or whatever. And we're there. We're there.
Right. Right. No, I mean, as a Alcoholics Anonymous, you join and you're sober. You're sober for 6 months, 12 years, 29 years, but you still go to meetings. You still go to find that support group to support you, because there's always the tendency to fall back into that. A habit taught when you're a child is a very difficult habit to break. I mean, if the habit is a violent relationship, is the only relationship, that's very difficult to break.
And a lot of the women tend to want to find that they have to go back into a lot of those behaviors in the past in order to bring healing forth. They have to revisit, you know, things that may have happened within the family unit to say, okay, I got to find forgiveness here in order to continue to move on. So then it's at that point they go back and, like, if it's no more than a mirror, Mom, I forgive you, you know, but this is not the way it should have been.
Right, right. You have to face up to that. Mm-hmm. Now, are you noticing an increase in your population or a change in your population over the last couple of years as the economy is sort of sinking out of sight?
Well, the ladies are staying longer, and we are full. And we are full when someone moves out. It does not take long for the referrals to come in for that room to be filled up again. And the economy is such that because some of the women do have some, they're over the, a lot of them are over the age 40, close to, over the last 3 years, close to 70% have been over the age of 40. And thus starting a new life at that time is not always easy, especially in this economy.
Right.
Where, you know, some of the women too, because of their different backgrounds and their ways of trying to escape the abuse and deal with it, their backgrounds are not always the easiest sometimes to get a new job.
To find a job, to find a way, right, sure. Mm-hmm. No, because the way you describe it, the, your job until you escape it tends to be the relationship. Mm-hmm. I mean, it...
And a lot of times it even escapes the education part of it. Mm-hmm. You find a lot of women have not completed the basic high school education.
Right.
So that, again, become a hindrance for them. It's an obstacle that's definitely going to get in the way of employment. And then, like you said, you have some women that have criminal backgrounds that may be an obstacle getting in their way as well.
Finding a job, finding independence, sure.
And then you couple that with evictions. Now that most jobs are requiring credit checks, credit background checks, criminal background checks as well. So
you're carrying a lot of baggage that makes it
prior
difficult.
To even looking for a job, you know, and then you're fighting for the little jobs that are here in the greater Milwaukee area that some people have degrees, you know, so that's another, it's not going to happen.
Right.
You know, I'm not going to get this job. How can I go and I can, here's this person that has a degree and I don't even have an education.
I can't even compete with them. Right,
right. Right.
Now, how do women find Daystar? I mean, is it does network out so one woman will tell another woman or?
It mostly comes through the referrals from direct referrals from emergency domestic violence shelters and the other homeless shelters, the police departments, personnel in hospitals, and treatment centers, and other social service agencies that do that we network with in the community.
Right. So. Now, is your funding a mixture, I suspect, of public and private?
It's very minimal in terms of public. Less than one quarter of our monies come from public.
Okay.
The rest is all private foundations, businesses, faith communities, religious communities, and great number of individual donors that have known us throughout the years.
All right. Good. So. Good. Well, that puts you in a less vulnerable position given the way the state is having to cut, and the federal government, too, is going to have to cut.
And the federal government hasn't even made a decision as to what they're really going to put through yet. So.
Right.
And the trickle-down means that people in the cities where the help is being given haven't received any funding for the year, starting the year.
Right, yeah, because everything's holding on them, those guys making up their minds, right.
But we are grateful for all of the donors that do keep Daystar alive. If it wasn't for them, we couldn't be.
Right.
Exactly. This year, we're celebrating our 25th anniversary.
25 years. Great.
25 years.
In the same space? Or
No.
Where are you? It's the third location, actually.
Okay. We were in some of the one of the high rises on the near north side. Then we went to the way north side, and now we're on the near Southside right now. I can't give you an exact address because of the confidentiality.
Gotcha, of course, of course. Yeah. Right. Ah, yes, of course. I hadn't even thought about that. Yeah, well, that's an interesting, and that's sort of, just an interesting part of it, that if you're dealing with women who are fleeing a violent or potentially violent, and in many cases, so there's a statistic that three women every day are murdered by an intimate partner?
If not more.
If not, well, those ones.
Are just the ones that are being reported.
Right, right. And every 9 seconds a woman is beaten. And again, that's just, those are the ones we have statistics for, because it's not reported often, because if you report it, you bring down more havoc upon your head.
Right. And it could be shame upon the family. Mm-hmm. It could be you have a certain status in the community and this just cannot happen to you because of my status.
Right.
So, I mean, it's the multitude of different things that people will not report it.
So when women finally make the decision to leave and to come and stay with you, do the men that are, or women that are, have been brutalizing them, follow them, come after them? Do you have to, I mean, I thought of it because you said you can't name the address because it has to be, it's just security reasons, but.
Some ladies are stalked. Are stalked even while they're at the shelter. We had one woman who the abuser knew where she worked. So he laid wait for her there.
Mm-hmm.
She got help. Finally, from somebody on the streets, but she was taken.
Right.
Yeah.
And not far from here.
Right.
Downtown, broad daylight.
Right. Just taken right off the street.
Literally. Wisconsin and Milwaukee Street, 2, 6th, and Walnut.
Right.
That's a long way
to
be beaten. And they were walking. So that means people were watching and rode by doing normal business days, normal business hours, and chose not to get involved.
Right, right. Yeah, I lived in Manhattan, New York City for 25 years, and that's the common thing. It can happen on the street, violence, people get stabbed, and everybody walks on by because they've got somewhere to go. People don't notice. It's difficult to get in. Police will tell you, the police that I've worked with anyway, will tell you that walking into a domestic violence situation is the most complicated situation to walk into. You don't want to go into that because they'll both turn on you.
So true.
Yeah. Now, do you use volunteer?
Yes. I work directly with the volunteers. Mm-hmm. You can go on our website at daystarinc.org. And look on the web there, and you'll find the application for volunteering. You can review it for your own personal use. Print it.
Right.
You can call me at 414-385-0334.
Good.
To schedule an interview. I also do the tour, and I do any training that may be required for a particular area of the shelter. We also connected with a lot of the nonprofit organizations, have us on their site too as a place to come and volunteer.
So you have, there are links and other.
Yes.
Okay.
And then we work with a lot of the area colleges for internships. A lot of students we get through various colleges. Myed, Mount Mary,
UWM,
Milwaukee,
right?
MACC.
MACC, okay.
Yeah, MATC, Cardinal Stritch, UWM. Exactly.
Great. Well, thank you both for taking time out of your day and coming in to talk to me. And good luck.
Thank you so much.
And thank you as well. And like you said, this is a area that people really need to look into and check their hearts and see where they are, because it can be very dangerous.
It's very dangerous, and it's all around us. And the word you used before about saying shame, it's such a shameful thing that we don't talk about it.
So
it's important to have the conversation.
Things that you need to discuss with children from birth up. You know, this is not only good touch, bad touch, but you should not abuse anyone in any form or fashion.
Right.
And look at that, you may have a brother, sister, a mother as well out there that is being abused.
And it's all of our business. It's not just their business.
It's the community.
Right. Thank you. Thank you again.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.